What a privilege tonight. I'm glad to be part of the family of God. Thank God for His grace in calling me and giving me an opportunity to hear the gospel when so many millions and billions in the world have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be able to be here at Gateway Baptist Church. We're thankful for the Lord and His providence and how that He let us meet Brother Tingen through Brother Lindsay and the different people here, as well as Brother Fred Wall, an old friend of mine from, not that he's old, but from a long time ago, in Haiti when we just first started out on the field. Back then, we count our years as how many kids we have. My wife and I, we have 10 children. We go, you know, back then when we had two, or back then when we had four, but Brother Fred Wall was a great encouragement as we were young missionaries on the field, and giving us a blessing going out to his place. We live down in the hot area of Haiti, and Lord blessed him to put him up on the plateau where it was nice and cool, and we felt like really God must have been calling us to go out there after we stayed with him a few times. But we've been on the field now. We started missionary work 19 years ago. We were called to the Lord and sent from our local church. Our pastor of the church where I got saved, he was a missionary pilot for many years, and his burden was into the islands of the Caribbean, and he took us down on many mission trips, and during those trips, God broke my heart and called me to the mission work. And then coming back after a few years in our church, I met my wife, and we were married, spent several years in Bible Institute, and then we went onto the field, sold everything we had, wasn't much, a Yugo and a trailer, but we got on the field. Don't ask me about the Yugo. I don't know how I ended up with that, but I'm saved, amen? I didn't understand when I drove up in Michigan why people were hollering out their windows at me and shaking their fists. I didn't realize it was a serious thing not to drive around up there. When I got to a brother's up in the Michigan area, I drove up into his parking lot. He said, "You're going to have to park that around back, Brother Truel." He says, you can't be driving those things in our area. I said, "Okay, whatever." It wasn't a Pontiac. But we went to the field. We didn't know at the time about the regular procedure of going on deputation. We just thought that God was big enough that, you know, He said go and we went. And we were able to get by on the field. We ended up, when we first started out, living in an abandoned police station. At that time, we had an outhouse, but we Americanized it pretty quick and put us an indoor toilet. And we went out each week with the native fellas and dove with them and got our seafood. And we had love packages sent from family members. And then from there, as we were there in that island, we started the Trinity Baptist Church. From there, I began to learn to speak the Haitian language, Creole, and we had started a Creole work in the islands there, the Turks and Caicos Islands, the first Haitian Baptist church in the country there, and that's from there I began to visit Haiti, and the Lord opened up the door and went to Haiti in 1992. That's when I met Brother Fred Wall, and we worked and lived at an orphanage for a couple of years, and in 1994, when they had the invasion, we left. But instead of coming back to the United States, we went back to the Caicos Islands, and we ended up about 8 months later going into the Dominican Republic, where we are going back to serve the Lord. We served in the Dominican Republic for 12 or 13 years and started several churches. That's where we began our church planting, real church planting work on our own with the Lord. And we started out with the Haitian people, started a couple of Haitian churches, as well as now a Dominican church, a Spanish-speaking church. The Lord has allowed us to speak a lot better than I speak English right now, to speak the Haitian language, Creole, as well as the Spanish language. We had Brother Tingen and his group come down in June as we're preparing our home for our family to go back to the field. And we thank the Lord for them coming down and the sacrifice that they made to come and work with us and to see our mission, the house for our family to go back to, get the roof on it. We still are working on getting some windows and doors put in. We're hopefully going back down. I'll probably be making another trip toward the end of August to try to work on that so we at least get things ready for the family to come in and live on, in there back in the village of Polo, Dominican Republic. We thank the Lord for calling us. We are not worthy. Should be by now that I would be able to be used to this. I've preached all across the United States, up and down the seaboard of the United States and in several countries around the world. But when I get into the pulpit, I don't ever feel sufficient for what the Lord would have me to use. But I thank God that it's up to Him and His Word to do the work. And tonight, I hope that the things that we're going to look at tonight in the Word of God and preach from the Bible, that they will be things that will help us to be faithful to the Lord and to serve the Lord with all sincerity and truth from our hearts. Because that is what God is looking at. He's looking at the heart. The Bible says that is the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it says, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of our hearts. Now Solomon, in his prayer in the book of 1 Kings also, he says something very much like that. And he says that it is the Lord, which is in heaven, that hears our voice. And it said, he said that thou only, Lord, knowest the thoughts of all the children of men. Now that puts the Bible up in a very high position. The Lord said it was only the Lord that knows the thoughts of all the children of men in the book of 1 Kings 8. And then the Bible says also of itself that the Word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That is why the Bible says in Psalms 148 that thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. It is the Word of God in which we've been called to preach. Not psychology, not stories, but the Word of God. And we want to look into the Bible tonight. We're going to cover a lot of verses. I hope that you're ready for your Bible drill. But I hope that these verses be able to allow us to see something about us that will help us to understand why we do what we do or not what we are supposed to be doing. John chapter 21, we'll start out there and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer again. John 21, in verse number 15. Let us stand for the reading of the Word of God. John 21, verse 15 through verse 22. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands and carry another. And another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry, will I till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight again for allowing me to stand here at the Gateway Baptist Church to open up the precious scriptures, to be able to preach thy precious word, Father, to your people. Lord, I thank you for what all you've done in my life and the people that you've allowed to come into my life to lead me. Father, first of all, those that came to me to preach the gospel when I was lost and without hope in this world, Father, without a family that knew God and without a church that was preaching, but Lord, you sent through your great providence a way, Father, for me to hear the gospel, and I thank you for how you worked that out. I thank you tonight for thy love and thy care for all of us. We pray tonight that through the preaching of your word tonight, that you would be glorified, that you'd be honored, you'd be lifted up in our hearts, that we might, Father, be a people that would be ready to serve you and to be sold out for you in all that we are called for you to do for in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless the preaching of the word. Fill me with your spirit. Heavenly Father, pray that, God, you would have your will and way in this message tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, I'm asking this. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord asked Simon Peter, and the message tonight we're going to get onto is, he said, lovest thou me more than these? In serving the Lord tonight, we're going to look at a message that I want to preach tonight about seven dangerous love affairs. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, that we're to set our affection. If you be then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now the Bible's very clear, and it's not an error that the Bible says there in our King James Bible. It says, and this is often quoted wrong, set your affection. It's not plural, it's singular. It's not many affections, and God wants one of them. But it is your affection, your whole heart. That's why the Bible says in the commandment, the greatest of all, to love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. But it's not possible for mankind to do such a thing as Pastor preached this morning without a work of God, without a purifying of our hearts first. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 15, verse number 9, when Paul the Apostle was preaching there, he explained what was going on with the Gentiles coming to know God. And he said that he put no difference between us, the Jews, and them. And it said, purifying their hearts by faith. In order for my heart to do what God called it to do, first of all, I need to have Jesus Christ in my heart. He is love. God is love. Jesus Christ is the only way that I can serve and love God, is first of all that I had to have my heart purified by faith. And if he lives in my heart, he's going to change. And if he lives in your heart, he's going to change the desires and motivations of your whole life. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle was talking in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He tells us in verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What motivates me to do what's right in this life and to serve the Lord is not because I'm looking to please men, but because the love of Christ constrains my heart. He has constrained my heart to serve him because I have met him and come to the knowledge of my sin. And I've come to the knowledge of the judgment and the condemnation of what I faced in offending God, and yet found out that God still loved me and wanted to save my soul. And because he did save my soul, I'm now constrained by that love to serve him. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, what? Live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. When God comes and changes the desires of your heart, it's not just a matter of saying, I love to do good things. But as Psalms 45, verse number 7, the prophecy actually about Jesus Christ, it says that thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. You see, when God's love comes inside of you, it puts the perspective on things in this life and in this world in the proper way. Not only will you love church and the people of God, but you'll also hate those things in which take you away out of the fellowship and communion of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You will hate those things. That's what Pastor was preaching about this morning. What are you satisfied with? That was a great message. that spoke to my heart. I am not satisfied unless I'm walking in the light of my Savior. Any child of God today, you are not satisfied unless you're walking in the perfect will of God. So why would you actually think that that would be something to run from? Misplaced affection can be a very dangerous thing. God made our hearts to love Him. And our hearts not doing what it was made to do, loving Him, therefore turns into wickedness. And the Bible says that one sinner can do much wickedness. First of all, men, some dangerous love affairs we need to watch out for. Is that men, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. In Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee loved himself. And he went home unjustified. He said, look how I pray. I'm not like this publican. He loved himself. He looked at himself and his righteousness. In Luke chapter 10, the priest and the Levite loved themselves more than their neighbor. And their self-love blinded them to the obedience to the commandment to love their neighbor. Self-love will prevent you from serving God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, you're probably already there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2, I'm sorry, I put 12. Didn't put that slash there. For men, verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is one of the signs of the last days. That in the last day perilous times shall come. These are dangerous times. And what is the first thing on the list? You think, oh, in our society today we're taught, we're praised when we put ourselves first. We're teaching our children to be successful in this life is to look out for yourself first. That's not what God says. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I read of stories where in other countries and not too long ago where many people were tortured and killed and put in the oven. The Jews were practically annihilated in Poland and by the Nazis and many other Christians in other places that have been persecuted. And I wonder why. Why would men, how could men come to the point to do such thing to other people? It's because they're lovers of their own selves. They love their selves. Second thing in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says that we have to watch out for the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It says in verse number 9, but they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It didn't say the rich fall into them. What does the verse say? They that will be. You could be poor as anyone here, but you got that desire and covetousness in your heart that you want to be rich. The love of the money caused the rich young ruler to turn away from Christ. Let's look at Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Nope, that's 9. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him. Now everything so far is good. He's come, he's excited, he's running, and he's kneeled before, and that's the right thing to do before the Lord Jesus. And asked him, good master, that's right too. He called him the right thing. He recognized, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So far, all the sincerity, everything looks good. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Huh, I don't think there's anyone in here today probably could even match that. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, now notice this is the way that the Lord loved him. He pointed out to him what was lacking in his heart, where his problem was. Not to turn him away, but to put him where he was looking for that eternal life. He said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. How many tonight, you're not taking up your cross, you're not following the Lord tonight because of the love of money? And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What a sad commentary. The Lord had just promised him where the true riches were. He said, you'll lay them up in heaven. But you know what? He didn't see those. That wasn't real. He did not have that faith. Psalm 49, the psalmist tells us, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. You see, the world's going to praise you. They think it's great to go after all of those things. But God said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Third of all, let's look at John chapter 12, is the love of the praise of men. Some dangerous love affairs. John chapter 12. Again, the Lord says here, verse number 43. Well, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We're not to love the praise of men. It prevents you from confessing Jesus Christ to the world. Some of you, I've been there. That's why I say some of you, some of me, myself. You've been in a situation, and because you worried about what people might think about who you were, or you might look like a fanatic, or you might not fall in with the crowd that you're with. You've been afraid to witness or open up the Word of God or give out a tract. There's going to be a day in eternity that you'll look back, and I'll look back at that moment, and we'll regret that. We'll say, oh, if I could only have saw the big picture. If I could only have looked with my eyes of faith at that soul and where he was going and not worry about myself. John chapter 5, verse 44. Another example. The love of the praise of men will prevent you from believing Jesus Christ for your own salvation as well. John chapter 5, verse number 44. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He said that you can't even believe if you're so worried about receiving honor from other people. It's important. Salvation is a repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that you did because it was expected of you or somebody found out something about you. And and all of a sudden you don't look the same in the front of everybody else. You have to really examine. Sometimes God will bring out your sin just to show you need salvation. Amen. But some people, they'll come down because their friend came down. It's not because they'd realize from God they need to be saved. They're lost before the Lord. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor? Cause the love of the praise of men will cause us also to lose our reward in heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence? Well, I'm sorry. That's Mark. Y'all are very patient. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 23 verse 5 said that the Pharisees, that their problem was that all their works they do it for to be seen of men. Beware that your Christianity, your membership in this church, or what you profess to believe is not based upon that you what other men, other people are seeing you do. You serve the Lord in a Christian family because your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters are saved. Well, you're on the right track, but examine your life and make sure that you know God personally. Don't serve God. Don't love the praise of men. John chapter 3, verse 19, the fourth thing is men love darkness rather than light. We're not to love darkness. The Bible says in Ephesians, we're to reprove the things of darkness. It's not enough just to stay away from it, but we're to reprove it. And those things of which have snared you and tempted you, and you've went through and got forgiveness and God's given you victory. It's not enough just to say, okay, I'm past that. But the Bible says that when your obedience is fulfilled, that you revenge that disobedience. You warn others that they don't follow into the same thing that might have taken you. Ephesians says that. Men love darkness rather than light. John chapter 3, verse 19, because their deeds are evil. It says, neither cometh to the light, lest what? Their deeds should be reproved. We need preaching like we had here this morning that deals with sin. We need sin preached against. Because that's when truly sin is everything in our lives that are idols that are keeping us from accomplishing and serving and glorifying God in which what we're supposed to be doing. John chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Verse 18, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We have a gospel today that's being preached in churches. It's a sinning gospel. It's a gospel that says, okay, everything's fine. Jesus loves you. And he'll just take you just like you are, and he will. But he's not going to leave you just like you are. He's going to make you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is still in the Bible. When God came into my heart and my soul, I became a new creature. I'd realized my whole purpose and direction, it was turned around, and my purpose was God. To serve Him, to obey Him, and to become like He was in all ways. It conformed in my thinking and in my purpose in every part to be His son. A son of God by birth, but a son of God by likeness as well. It's the purpose of God, the Bible says, that we'll be conformed to His image. That's going to happen physically when Jesus Christ comes for us. But that is to be happening now. That has already happened in that we become a new creature. We're a new man, which is created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. A new creature. A son of God. The Bible says it's a son of God. It says, and it does not sin. It says in 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 1 also says, if we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar. But what God has done on the inside, He wants our personal, our physical, our body also to become in practice as we grow in grace. Why? Because our heart's condition. Men love darkness because their foolish hearts were darkened, according to Romans chapter 1. And that came from a simple disobedience, but a serious disobedience. Verse number 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. The Bible says this over and over. Paul, the Apostle Paul, all through the New Testament, it deals with us being a people of thanksgiving. Thankful to our God. Offering up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because when we're not thankful, our heart becomes hard. It's like a sponge. If you use a sponge, it stays and soft. It absorbs and it gives out, absorbs and gives water out. But if it's not being used, you set it down, it just dries up and crumbles. That's what's wrong with the hearts. Your heart is not taking in the Word of God. It's not being, the love of God is not being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you. It will become hard because it's not being used what God intended for it to be. Men love darkness because their foolish heart was darkened. It says they were not thankful but became vain in their imaginations. It is a shame sometimes what goes on in our families and in our conversations outside, sometimes right in the house of God. The things that we speak about are just vain. We should be speaking of the glory of God and what God's done in our life. It's been a blessing to be here at the church, and the brethren that we meet, it's good to be around a church that loves God and that wants to serve and glorify God. Because when a child of God is truly a saved, a person's a true child of God, he wants to please his father. And he gets around some other children of God that they want to please their father. They're bound together in love. Mutual love. Romans 1 says that they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. We could stay here for a while and preach, but number 5, the most we've heard a lot of preaching on, 1 John 2, love not the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Neither the things that are in the world. Now you see, when our heart doesn't have God in it, we love the world, and the world takes us away from God and blinds us. Now God, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, when you have God's love in you, your heart operates like it's supposed to. It can look at the world in the right way and love the world and what's important, the souls of it. But when the Bible deals with us loving not the world, it deals with those things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's a competition. That's what he asked Peter. in where we started off tonight. He says, lovest thou these more than me? It's always been that since the garden. Adam and Eve, the question was, were they going to love God and obey Him? Or was Eve going to love the lust of her eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life? The things that look good, the tree. One to desire to make one wise. It was a tree good to eat. She fell for that. And Adam had the choice. Was he going to love and fall with his wife as well and go with her? Or was he going to stay with God? And that's the question tonight as well. As a child of God, do you love God with your whole heart? Does the love of Christ constrain you to love God and to serve Him and not to live unto yourself but unto Him which died for us and rose again? Paul said that Demas forsook him in having loved this present world. You know, Paul was out on a journey. Some would say he was reckless. He said that he didn't even count his life dear unto himself. He was ready to go and offer himself in Rome and even unto death. And it might not have been that Demas, you know, he had a problem with some type of thing in the world. Like he wanted a big farm or some riches. That might not have been the problem, but it says he loved this present world. He wasn't living for God to the point that it didn't matter even if his life, if he died, he was ready to serve God. Demas possibly was just saying, I don't want to leave this world yet. I don't want to serve God to that capacity. You know, sometimes we blame Demas on some great problem. Normally we tend to blame people like that on things that we're not doing ourselves. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she could not break away from the world. We knew there was a problem when the scripture said that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. From there, he went into Sodom. In Sodom, as a righteous man, the Bible says, his righteous soul was vexed. It says his soul was righteous. It was vexed from day to day. And he lost his family while he was in the world. You say, well, I got forgiveness of sins. I'm saved. Once saved, I'm always saved. Amen. What are you saved from? Yeah, Lord, forgive me. I'll probably suffer loss at the judgment seat. No, there's going to be others that's going to lose and suffer now for the things that you decide not to do for the Lord. The rich farmer died as a fool because he only lived for this world. In Luke chapter 12. Number 6 is the love of pleasure more than the love of God. And today in our country, this has overtaken us. We don't even see it as a sin. We see it as a right. I have a right to please myself. God, He should honor the fact that we have our rights as citizens of the United States of America. I believe when God gave this Bible, there was not the United States of America. Thank God for our country, its freedoms, its independence that but we got that from God. And if we fail to serve that God, that piece of paper has no power anymore. Because it's God was the power behind that freedom. Men cannot be free if they're serving sin. They become the servants of sin. In Luke chapter 12, let's look at that and we'll finish up here. I want you to look at something with me. Maybe to help you out. Maybe to help you as a soul winner when you're dealing with people. Maybe to be able to help you now. If you're here tonight lost and why you haven't decided to trust Christ. Luke chapter number 12, verse 15. When the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, it is. It goes back to the very beginning of the very first sin in the universe. Luke chapter 15, and we'll finish up with this thoughts. Luke 12. I said that wrong. Luke 12, verse number 15. Thank you. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Boy, that's an anti-American statement today. We're all taught that if you're going to have a life, it means that you're going to have all the good things. The pursuit of happiness. And yet, America, it doesn't seem to be a happy country. We just came back from the Dominican Republic. The average, the lost people in that country are happier than the Christians that you see around here. And they don't even have the Lord. We cry about the smallest problems. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And that's because God made it that way. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Now notice all these I wills. And that's your problem tonight if you're lost. It's because you still have I in the front of God. You can tell God, I've done this. I've tried this. I've been baptized. And it's because I continually is still the Lord of your life. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse number 15 there, it said that, or number 17, and he thought within himself. Here's where the battle is for your soul tonight. The Bible says in Isaiah that let the wicked forsake his thoughts. He says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my ways are above your ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. There's a way that you think that you can be justified or what pleases God, but I'm going to tell you tonight, and this is good news, that there's only one thing that pleases God, and that is the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin, for the justification of your sin tonight. You can cry, the hymnist said, my tears forever flow, and no zeal my languor know. These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In Psalm chapter 10, we find the same thing. We find in Luke, he says, I will, I'll do this, I'll pull down my barns, I'll say to my soul, eat meat, eat, drink, and be merry. Psalm 10, the Bible says, the wicked in the pride doth persecute the poor. But verse 3, Psalm 10, 3, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Some of you tonight, this is not the focus of your whole life. It's just a place to come. It's part of your schedule. But I thank God, the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the place where God saved me. It's the place where God grows me in His grace. It's the place that God directs and sent me and leads me in my life. But the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now look quickly with me. Verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. That's what the wicked say in their heart. That's why they're not troubled when they hear about there's a burning hell. Well, they hear it, but in their heart, they respond in their heart. Remember the Bible says in, I think, Psalm 14, The fool has said what? In his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, or they've done abominable works. Did I do that? How does the wicked say in their heart? They show it by the life that they live. If you truly believe, like Pastor said this morning, then you will act upon what you believe. I didn't go to the mission field because it looked like a glorious thing. In fact, very few people knew at the time I was going. The ones that knew thought it was crazy. My wife, my mother-in-law, she would send letters down while we were in Haiti talking about, you know, just everything that, you know, good things to her, you know, we miss you and all that. But I read her letter one time, and she wasn't writing Haiti, she was writing Hades. She thought we lived in Hades. She really thought that was the name of the place. Brother Wall can tell you, after you live there a while, you start thinking maybe that is Hades. You start thinking there might be a purgatory. I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. That means I won't get into a problem. I won't have any trouble. I'm going to live the life I'm going to live, and I'm not going to be in adversity. That is a foolish and deceived heart. That's the heart that I had for many years. That's why I came and I went to a Southern Baptist church, and I went and did all the part of the RAs and did all this, but yet I went out and lived a sinful life and had no problem. I figured, oh, it's okay. I never heard that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I heard, just give your heart to Jesus. I found out later, Jesus didn't want my heart. Jesus wanted to change my heart. My heart was wicked. I shall never be in adversity. Go on down through there. You're going to see again. He says, verse 11, he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That's what goes on. That's why the word of God must be preached, because only the word of God knows what's in men's heart. Only God's word tonight knows what's in your heart and what you need. The Bible says it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle said, that will judge and will show the secrets of men. I don't know where you're at, who you are. I don't know what you profess. You say you're saved. Praise God. I'm glad. But it's like Pastor said this morning. Make sure that you have what the Bible says a saved person should have. It would be a shameful thing to sit in a church for many years and then stand before God and hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He says here, "Wherefore the wicked contemn God," verse 13, he said in his heart, "Thou wilt not require it." Now the wicked say all this in the heart, but you know what? When God comes in and purifies the heart, everything that the wicked try to do on their own, God actually gives to his children. You can go back and read every one of these again as a child of God. I shall not be moved. In Christ, you won't. I shall never be in adversity. You're hitting his hand in the cleft of the rock. You won't be in trouble. You won't fall. You will not fall. The wrath of God will not fall upon you. He says, God hath forgotten, and it's true, God has forgotten what I was. He hideth his face. He doesn't see it because the blood of Christ, it covers it. He will never see it. Praise God. In verse 13, thou wilt not require it. I'm glad God doesn't require of me what I deserve, but he's forgiven me of it. Now, these same things that go on in that heart of man that say that, it goes back to the beginning, and I'm sorry, it's 8 o'clock. In Isaiah 14, you're going to find there. I won't go there because of time, but you're going to find in Isaiah chapter 14, I'm sorry if I'm taking too long. I'm used to, we'll preach in Haiti sometimes. It just, you know, it's like we go to church on Sunday. What time do y'all get out? Well, we go to church on Sunday. Sunday, we're in church. Maybe we'll walk out and go to another church and keep preaching. But we're in church. If you're going to plan to do something, you plan another day, because Sunday's church. Isaiah 14:12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said," what? "In thine heart," and here where it started. This is the same thing that the rich man was saying, the farmer there. "I will tear down." He had that same heart. This is what the man in Psalm 10 said. "I will do this. I will." God has forgotten. Satan says, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of this congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, God responded in Ezekiel 28 to every one of those. He told him, "Yeah, you said all of that." He says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty," told Lucifer that. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom because reason of thy brightness." And God responded five things to him. "I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries." He goes on to say, "I will bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." You can try to say, "God, I'll take care of my own salvation," but you won't. You'll end up in the same condemnation of the devil. But you know, even the devil himself, what he wanted to steal, what he wanted, God gives to his children. Here's Satan trying to overtake and steal God's glory, and God is glorified in taking the very dust of the earth and forming man, and giving that dominion unto man. And his children, it says that thou visitest the Son of Man and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And it said, look at those things, and we'll finish here. Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, "I will ascend into heaven." Praise God. "No, you won't, Lucifer." He said, "I'll cast you down, but I'm going to take my children. They're going to ascend into heaven." He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." "No, you won't. I'll cast thee before nations, before kings. You'll be down to the dust." But he says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." He says, "My children are going to judge angels." He said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. You don't have to get too excited about this. "I will ascend above," what? "The heights of the clouds." The Lord said he's coming back for his children, and he's going to meet us in the clouds. And the Bible says, "I will be like the Most High." No, Satan, you're not. You're going to be lower than the kings of the earth, but my children are going to be like me. And they're going to share my glory. And they're going to know me personally. And they're going to see my face. And when they shall see me, they shall be like unto me. "And whoso hath this pure hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Amen. Folks, tonight you can be pure and you can walk with the Lord. Your heart can be pure before the Lord if you're saved. It's the only way for it to be pure. And watch out for these dangerous love affairs that God can use your life, because he's bought us with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor.